plenty of stuff. It's at a hotel. Mm-hmm. It starts 12 p.m. There's no African time, oh. There's no African time. Let me be very honest with you. There's no African time. You go there. Now, if you've won tickets and you've not been sent your ticket, just go there. And please know your email address, because we have your email address, okay? So when you go there, once you get there, you'll be asked to verify your email address, and then it'll be cross-checked, and your ticket will be issued to you right there at the venue. That is if you've not already received yours, okay? So because I'm seeing messages here that they've not received theirs. If you've submitted your email address, go come to the venue and cross-check, verify that it's indeed your email, and then your ticket will be issued right there on the spot, and you can go in, okay? If you don't have ticket, just go there. Ticket will be on sale at the venue as well. Now, that's one. Second part is that Bukola Saraki will be on Hard Facts today. That's right. The former Senate President will be on Hard Facts today at 3 p.m. With Sandra Ezekwesili. You don't want to miss out on that big, 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 awesome interview as well. It's coming up 3 p.m. today. A chat with Bukola Saraki, yes, today on Hard Facts. And he'll be on the show today. You need to stay tuned for it as well. It promises to be really, really, really interesting. Okay. We should have a treasure hunt today, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, once I get the treasure hunt information, I'll share it as quickly as well. Last week we didn't play treasure hunt at all, so this week would play treasure hunt, hopefully, before we go any further. So we have been at the forefront of the advocacy on domestic and sexual abuse, gender-based violence here on Nigeria Inc. for so much that we have 2 hours dedicated to this menace, this scourge, every Saturday from 7 a.m. We call that program Relationship 360. Olumide Kaori Amosebi is the director of Gnosis Help Initiative. He's right here in the studio with me. Olumide, pleasant morning to you and happy holidays.
Good morning, Sheriff.
How are you doing?
Thank God, fine. Fine, thanks.
We need to get into this conversation very, very quickly. And our focus today is the conspiracy of silence against GBV, gender-based violence. Are you familiar with this, Olumide?
Very, very familiar. In fact, I think we've had two sessions on air about the conspiracy and fallacies of silence.
Hmm. What are these? What are the things that you've heard why people keep quiet when they see things like this happening to their neighbors, to their family members, to their sister, to their brother, to their children? What are the most common excuses people give?
Well, the word silence here is a verb and also a noun. The verb is to prevent from speaking. That is to prohibit from speaking. And what happens is that we have a religion and a culture that tells you that once you are married, you shouldn't tell a third party anything that happens. Whatever happens in the house, you know, just nobody has a perfect marriage. Everybody is suffering, but you know, you just manage. You know, it's like marriage becomes a tomb where you are buried. You are too, and that is the only tomb, that is the only grave that you dance into in a wedding ceremony. And as you get inside, they just tell you, you know, just be quiet, don't let any third party hear whatever you go. And then when you now suffer, when the hardship is getting too much, and you go to your church, they tell you to, especially the women, to be submissive. Then they tell you to pray. Then you go to your family, especially in the Yoruba tradition, when on your wedding day, they tell you that the room in your father's house, that is your room, is no longer available. So as you are going forever. So it's like you can't come back. And it's almost like you are selling off, because a man or a woman maltreats their spouse, and then the family can't enter because they are married. The man says, she's my wife. The woman says, he's my husband. So I would do with any way you they choose.
Mm.
So it's really a conspiracy of silence, because this informs, you know, when even parents are prevented from coming to the aid of their young, when brothers and sisters, the community can no longer interfere because of an agreement called marriage, that is a problem.
You know, while you were talking, I was a bit lost in thought when you mentioned one critical factor. Like, people say that what happens in the marriage stays in the marriage, and that's a fallacy that most people have been told. But Olumide, this goes beyond fallacy. This has been some people's truth. Like, whatever happens in our marriage should stay in our marriage. Let's find a way to deal with it. But how rampant is gender-based violence, and why exactly do you think that people seem to prefer to mind their business, even when the other, let's say the victim or the parties involved, aren't speaking, they aren't telling anybody anything, the woman, the man, they are not telling their relatives anything, but the relatives, they know anyways. Why? What do you think usually prevents them from intervening?
Culture and religion. Then it's enshrined in our culture and our religion. Now more our religion than culture. Because a person comes to the church and then you are being told to be submissive. In some churches, the moment you start complaining about your husband or you say you want to separate, you are no longer allowed to be a worker. They pull you out of, you cannot even hold any position. So that bullies, you know, it's like you abuse the abuser. I call it spiritual abuse, where, you know, you cannot talk for sake of, listen, just go and submit. So there is no empathy, there is no sympathy. You know, they come with God hates divorce and, you know, just stay there. And that also, because parents are also, they brought you up in the way of the church. So the doctrine has it in deep. People don't understand the power of doctrine. Now, you see, some people will strap a bomb to themselves and go to a place to detonate because they were told that you would be in paradise with 17 or 10 virgins. Someone will blow up himself. The power of doctrine is so much that it could cause it assisted suicide. Where someone comes to, there was a case we handled, the lady came with a black eye, as in she a terribly black eye. And they said, you know, probably you said something that provoked the person. And I looked at it that, you know, as you're coming, when you get into Lagos, every conductor, every bus, every policeman, there's provocation anywhere.
Everywhere.
But you do not beat any of them. Even your neighbors that probably blocked your car when you wanted to go, you are knocking on their door that they should remove their, you know, you don't do anything. But then it is when one person says something, you feel she provoked. Nigeria is provocation on its own, but you don't go and beat up the president, you don't beat up the governor, you don't even beat up local government officials. But that one person who you are married to is what you feel you have the authority and audacity to lash out on.
I've heard your explanation on religion. I've heard your explanation on culture. How about neighbors? I mean, they don't follow you to church. Some of them don't even go to church. They're always aware if anything is going on. But everybody just decides to keep quiet.
The issue
and mind their business.
The issue at times, you know, there are some things I would tell you that would be gory, but just bear with me. Last week, a partner of mine who runs the Stop the Abuse Foundation was called. A case was directed to her by the judge. The man had beaten up the wife prior. She was with her baby and was in her period at the same time. And this man, after beating, dipped the hand into the, what would I call, menstrual discharge and on her face, in her mouth. Can you imagine shoving a menstrual pad in the mouth of someone who is menstruating to beat? And this enraged my partner, and you know, the matter was, you know, the man was arrested. He was like, this man has to. The following day, some people came, you know, and the next thing she heard that the man is about to be released. And the next thing, the woman is saying, you know, I don't want them to lock him up. I just want, you know, them to just hold him. Maybe he would change, you know, just. And then the next thing she calls and says, please, where is your house? Me and my husband want to come and greet you to thank you. Do you understand? You get up to fight for some people. The same person you are fighting for is the same person that will tell you that, no, don't touch my husband. It was me. You know, someone that was bruised will say, I fell down, that it was an Okada. So at the end of the day, you are now the nosy neighbor who tried to intervene or interfere. You would now be victimized. So for fear of that, a lot of people just, they don't want to, because husband and wife will settle now. It is me that they will say, and that is what happens a lot.
That's quite, does that mean that we can't find a middle ground to stop abuse?
I think that when you, for someone like me, I don't just care. Reason being, this year alone, you know, I had been talking in the program about the peculiarity of the month of March. This March alone, we buried 19 persons.
This year alone?
This March alone, March. That is lost to domestic violence and abuse.
19.
So when you begin to see more corpses than you are seeing people, you tend to lose regard for what one neighbor, what somebody may say. I would just call the law. You know, straight we go by the law. This is a crime. You know that for the year 2021, I'll give you some statistics. The domestic and sexual violence response team, that is between January and June, gave 1,329 cases.
That's in Lagos, yeah.
In Lagos alone. 1,125 were female, 194 were male. Females accounted for 85%. Now, one in every three marriages would end in a separation or divorce by the second anniversary, and one in every four women will suffer domestic violence or abuse in the first year of their marriage. 89% of cases of domestic violence and abuse, separations and divorces are from Christian marriages. And do you know that by 2025, the way the statistics are going, a Christian woman will be more likely to die from her marriage and complications arising from it than any other natural disease.
Wow. How do we stop this? I mean, we are big on advocacy, yes, no doubt about it. But it looks like it goes beyond advocacy, Olumide.
It is education. And that is why, you know, I would forever be grateful to Nigeria Info for supporting this. You need to educate people that it is not okay. Now, look at this. The abusers, men and women that abuse. A study from the World Health Organization shows that abusive males are men that while growing up had witnessed their mothers beaten by their fathers, an intimate partner, or a family member. A woman, the female abusers, are those that grew up in toxic environments that have also witnessed a parent being beaten by their fathers, an intimate partner, and have come to accept it as a norm. So it comes to the women submitting to it as normal. That, okay, there was a time I was in a, you know, I was telling the lady, you know, it was just a chatter. She said, well, she's 34 now. Well, now slap, last, as in,
She had accepted
before that. Well, that's because slaps were normal. You know, she saw it. And I said, what do you mean by slap? She said, argument, then slapping, then pushing, that she's now at 34. You know, she was afraid, but at 34, I think, you know, she's now strong enough to withstand it. And, you know, we cannot go on with the marriage arrangements. That was her expectation. So the issue here is that we have to break the culture of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see that I am not saying Christianity, I'm saying religion,
right,
because this is doctrine and not what the Bible says. Do you understand? There is no way in the Bible that deals with domestic violence and abuse.
Right.
It only deals with adultery. That is why in Matthew it says that you can divorce on grounds of adultery. But there is no example of domestic violence and abuse. The only place there is in the Bible is in the book of Proverbs 21, verse 9, and Proverbs 21, verse 19. And it says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than in the house with a nagging and contentious spouse. That is wife. So the Bible also tells you to separate. That is, it is better to go and dwell in the wilderness. As in wilderness, that means in the bush, just park and
avoid, wherever you can, just go.
But here they say, no, God hates divorce. Yes, God hates divorce, but he doesn't hate the divorcee. God hates sin, but he doesn't hate the sinner. In fact, he sent his son to die for the sinner. So why do you send people back? You see, you understand? You send the sheep back into the lion's den. You are a murderer by that act, being an accomplice after the fact. Do you know that in the Violence Against Persons Prohibitions Act, Section 19, subsection 4 says, a person who receives or assists another who, to his or her knowledge, committed the offense, that is domestic violence, provided for in subsection 1 of this section, is an accessory after the fact and liable upon conviction to a term of imprisonment not exceeding 1 year or a fine not exceeding 200,000. That is, the fact that you have knowledge and you are covering up the abuser, already you are guilty and you can be sent to a year imprisonment. And this should be read to all the churches. It should be read to all the institutions, to the families, those families that cover up abuse and say, you know, it's our son. It is our...
Olumide, why do religion or groups, religious groups and bodies tend to, in one, for lack of better word, cover up domestic violence?
Not even only cover up. At times, they even know that the heads of departments in churches, some of them are abusers. And then an abused will be coming to report to an abuser. What do you expect to get? I'm coming to tell you that my husband or my wife beat me up. Meanwhile, you that I'm reporting to beat his own wife or her own husband at home. So what do you expect?
You know what? Let's take a quick break. When we're done with this quick break, would okay. I mean, this is a big issue, and it's almost like we've not even started to scratch the surface, Olumide. Because sometimes when you share, you know, what you go through in sorting some issues out, the other time you told me that you passed out.
Yes.
Ah, for my shoe.
It was exhaustion. I just couldn't lift my, I couldn't control my body. It was exhaustion. They said my brain just shut down.
I wish we could have more people in this space, because we can't have enough. Because it seems like domestic abuse is the order of the day. Someone was sharing an experience with me last week when we were having series of this conversation, and the person said that it's a normal thing in rural areas. Like, people see these things happen, and it's just normal. Everybody just
please,
goes.
Let me make you laugh. Last week I was invited by the
radio. Please hold on. Let's take this break.
Okay.
Huh? We'll be back.
This is an infomercial. On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we're back on the crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. Good morning to you once again. We're streaming live on Facebook. We have feeds on YouTube as well. Nigeria Info 99.3. So you can watch on there and drop your comment what we're talking about. Above all, I would also like to remind you that later today, Former Senate President Bukola Saraki will be on Hard Facts with Sandra Ezekwesili. It's an interview that you don't want to miss for anything at all. And also at noon, Praise Jam, The Resurrection will be live. The stage will be lit. There will be plenty of praise and worship. Great ministers will be on stage today. I can't go through the names because there are quite many. Popular comedian and singer Kenny Black will be the host of the event. It's happening at 12 at noon at Eco Convention Center today. All right. So I'm Sheriff Quadri. Nice to meet you. Olumide Omoshebi is here, the executive director of Gnosis Help Initiative, and we're discussing conspiracy of silence against gender-based violence. We've started the advocacy for some time now, and we'll continue to talk about it. Drop your comment on our live streams on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. Olumide, I think I should take some calls at this moment and hear from people. Perhaps take some messages as well. Some messages have been pouring in, as a matter of fact. The studio line is 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. If you've been a witness to gender-based domestic violence, sexual violence before, I would like to know why you have decided to keep quiet. If you've done something about it, we would like to know how it eventually turned out. If you're a victim, you can tell us under the condition of anonymity why you prefer to keep quiet. The moment you spoke out, what happened? I would like to hear from every party because it's a collective effort, this issue. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, please.
Good morning, sir. The lawyer in the studio, Abi.
Good morning, ma'am.
God bless you, sir. God bless you so much. Mm-hmm. You know one thing? Me, I used to talk like my junior sister now. When I take her out of after her marriage, all the whole family turn against me till today. Mm. They say nobody has ever go out of marriage. I say, so somebody will die in marriage before you people will wake up. But this one will not end up like our late mother. That is how I took her. Till today, they are not talking to me because of that matter. Mm. Again, I don't know why Ma will beat you, do all sorts of things with you. In the night, that the same man will come again. If I say it in the presence of my friend, they will say, you don't understand, you don't understand. So women take it as the right, the men have right to beat them and do whatsoever they want with them. But we continue to talk because it's not right. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your contribution. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, please, good morning.
Good morning, Barrister Olumide.
Good morning.
You see, my name is Pastor Ladipo.
Oh.
I'm calling from Orilegum.
You're welcome.
You see, I've witnessed domestic violence. And when we tried to intervene, we met stiff opposition, especially from the woman that was being beaten.
Hmm.
Because she felt that the man would change. Every effort, as a matter of fact, I did counsel, private counsel, open rebuke, and everything fought hard that the woman should leave.
Mm.
The woman was like, including her family, they said, Pastor, you are not supposed to be doing this. Let's be praying for the man.
Mm.
I asked them one question. This person, is it not like a stone?
How did it end? Please tell us.
Now, how it ended was that the man succeeded in taking the woman away far from where I would reach her.
Nearby.
He left the church. Hmm. They did everything. But what I later heard was that she passed on.
Oh, my God.
As a result of some things that later happened. So sometimes, it's not as if people doesn't want to speak up.
Hmm.
Some of the victims themselves, we don't know. I don't know whether it's hypnotism. I don't know.
Hmm. Pastor, thank you for talking. Olumide, you shared the same sentiment earlier.
I would tell you something that happened to a blood of mine too. The same thing that, in fact, it was around 1 a.m. that I was called, that someone, like a sister of mine, had been abused, and the man used her hair her braids to tie her head to the bedpost so that she wouldn't move. You know, I reversed into the compound with the reverse of the car, broke into the gate, entered. I think that the velocity of the family intervention, do you understand? When the church tells you, stands by you, isn't it the church that is telling them to pray about it? If the church stands and the family stands that this cannot happen, where did they even get that idea that, you know, he would change those destiny changers, people that change, that can change people's day? Who have they changed before? They don't know that the abuse is generational. When you get to their family, you see that's how their father did, their father's father did. So it's a generational thing. You think someone will just change. You just lay hands and somebody will just change. Then let that person go and change. Let us save our own person's life. It is your problem. It is not a marital problem. Now, abuse is not a marriage problem. It is a behavioral problem. What they now do is make it a marriage problem. It is someone's behavior. It is not a marital problem. It is a behavioral problem, and it should be treated as such. Let's take some phone calls.
Yes, let's do. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, please.
Yeah, some women are lazy. That's how I see it. My mom had 4 children. And when she noticed that she's dying in her marriage, she packed 4 of us. And she left that marriage. And she worked very hard and made sure that 4 of us are successful. So some women, they wanted to hide under marriage for the men to be provided for them. If anybody wanted to commit murder, me, I will never commit suicide. Run away from abusive marriage. Let our women be wise. Let them use their own hands to work for their own money, to stop looking at men's hands. That's how I see it, sir.
Thank you for sharing that. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, sorry, I want to remain as anonymous, please.
That's fine.
Actually, I was also a victim of domestic violence, and when I was being tortured mentally, emotionally, psychologically. And it got to a point, I kept quiet. I didn't want anybody to know because of the fear of losing my marriage. I was afraid of what people would tell me, and I'd be like, are you a child of God? And if left your marriage and the rest of the thing. So it got to a point I could no longer hold it again, up to the extent that if I want to have sex with my husband, I will have to be pleading and be begging my husband, that please, can you please have sex with me? He would tell me that unless I buy him dinner, unless I buy him that. So it kept happening. He's always insulting me and the rest of it. So it got to a point when I think two times he told me he was going to kill me, and I was just like, this man has said is going to kill me, and one day he's going to do it. So each time I want to sleep at night, I'm always so restless. I'll be so scared of sleeping at night because of the fear that this man can strangle me to death. So it got to a point I had to let loose. I had to tell my parents, my mom about it, my siblings about it. And they all shouted that, what am I still doing in the marriage? Even though they were still hardline talking to me, so in the marriage, I was still afraid of what the church would say, what my friends would say, what the church would say about me. But eventually, forcefully, they had to pull me out of the marriage. And I seem to have my peace right now. Though people around me don't know what's going on, my church, they don't know what is going on right now. But at least this is 2 years I'm out of the marriage. So I think what happens with people is just they're always afraid of what the society is going to talk about them, that you're a child of God and this and that, and you've left your marriage. So my own advice is just that if you're this face with domestic violence, you should just let people know about it.
Okay.
So that it will not be a forgotten issue. Thank you.
Thank you too, Anonymous, for sharing that. It takes courage for a victim to speak out, right?
Yes, you can imagine what she said. She said people would say you're a child of God, as if a child of God cannot sin, cannot make a mistake in marriage. A lot of times they marry other children of God. It's not as if they go and marry the children of the devil knowingly. They meet in church, they meet in, and you know, the person might even be a pastor, but it happens to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. And then you complain and they say, ah, you're a child of God. Is it that you should not talk? When you are in hell, you should smile.
But we victimize the victim,
yes,
Olumide.
We abuse the abuser.
That's like the culture.
The victim,
someone cries to you for help, and the first thing you say the person is, hey, you may try to go back to your husband's house.
Yeah. The issue is that, look at the people talking. Most of the people you are talking to, I call them emissaries of death, are those that are already suffering in their own, and they were not allowed to leave. So you are now telling them, because they did not leave, they will tell you not to. I told you, I think it was 2 years ago, about 1.5 years ago, it was in Pedro Police Station there. Yeah, I think it was around that Shomolu side. It was around that Shomolu. The OC Human Rights there, when she was telling the lady came in her pyjamas, 7 months pregnancy. Please, I want to, the man locked her out overnight. Wants to leave, say, ah, no, that they can't join her to this, they can't join her to that. And then was pushing her, forcing her back into the marriage. The lady now, somebody gave her my number, now called me, and I was around the area. I said what they said, that she has to go and call her father. That is her own father. For what? If the father is dead, then
so she's not adult enough.
She's not adult enough to that's
report.
What the husband, when he came, he said, well, he married her from the father, so it's only the father that can come and take the and the OC Human Rights there knew that what he was. You see, we follow the law, not tradition or sentiment. And I got there. I said, who said that here? It was a woman. And the funny thing is that women are women's problems. It is another woman that will add spice to your abuse. And then I got there and I just picked up the phone to call the area commander to report what the OC Human Rights. And when she heard me on the phone, the woman snatched my phone and said, that is not that. She just thought this. She just thought that. And I said, in a police station, someone coming to report. And the woman now said, and if I know what is happening to her, I will pity her. I said, well, what is happening to you?
Even you.
She now showed me her neck, that even she was being beaten by her own husband. And they said that she should stay. So why do people want to leave? That is a policewoman.
My goodness.
So you are going to complain to someone who is already suffering and in her own she cannot leave. And you want her to tell you to leave? It is a personal decision. I think that it is assisted suicide for you to remain. Because you would account for every action. If you stay where you will be killed, you did not die. Your death is not virtue. It is suicide.
Olumide, we must begin to go now. But I suspect that quite a number of people would need your contact for help. How can people reach out to you?
Oh, wow. You could reach me via calls or WhatsApp on 0909-3214-942.
Take that slowly, please.
0909-3214-942. Or, you know, I'm here every Saturday, 7 a.m. to
That's
9
right.
a.m. on Relationship 360. Every Saturday, you can also... Instagram, I've dealt with a lot of these topics on Instagram page. You can follow me on Instagram at gnosis_help. That is gnosis_help. There you will find recorded sessions of me talking on various topics and all that, some of our programs. And I'm also giving to you, Sheriff, these flyers where we printed, showing you all kinds of abuse. Now, abuse is not only physical. When they say domestic violence and abuse, it's not that the person has. You have emotional abuse. You have psychological abuse.
Right.
You have financial or economical abuse where somebody stops the other from walking, says you have to. And it is even against the law that people don't know that for you to stop someone from walking is against the law. When you check the violence against persons prohibitions.
So, for you to say, okay, you must be a housewife. What if the person decides to be a housewife?
Yes, it is your decision. Yeah. But to be induced into it, Section 12, Subsection 1 of the VAP Act says a person who causes forced financial dependence or economic abuse of another commits an offense and is liable upon conviction to a term of imprisonment not exceeding 2 years.
I mean, we have to go. On Saturday, you can tune in to Relationship 360 to hear more from Olumide here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Thank you so much for coming around, Olumide.
Thank you very much.
We have to go now. I am Sheriff Quadri. I am on Instagram at Sheriff Quadri, on Twitter at Sheriff Quadri as well. See you tomorrow at 5. Good morning to you.
Talk 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.